everybody, and welcome to CHOP, the Guillotine League podcast. I'm Paul Charchian, and back in person, Brian Johnson.
Good to see you, Charch.
Yeah, in person again. The phone thing is fine, but it's just not the same.
Yeah, I'm sure you missed my disheveled face right now.
Yeah, you can't grow a beard, man.
No, I know. No. I'm not trying to. I'm just lazy, basically.
I can't help it, and you can't do it. Together, we have one normal beard, I think, between the two of us.
Oh, I should be doing the Movember thing. I realize it's November already. Yep. Yeah, week 10, right?
They come at you fast. It's week 10. That means there's 2 weeks left of new Guillotine Leagues forming at guillotineleagues.com. We'll do them this week. We'll do them next week. They're 9-team leagues now. There'll be 8-team leagues next week. We encourage you to jump in if you want to grab a new Guillotine League. And, you know, life's a lot less fun if you're not in a Guillotine League. And, you know, whether you've already been chopped or you're worried you might get chopped, life's better with a Guillotine League. So yeah, I encourage you to do that.
Go check out the lobby. The leagues are filling quick. Like you said, only 9 teams. So that's still 14 rounds. I believe that's 126 picks. So
it's half the picks that half the picks we were drafting with in the preseason.
Yeah, you're definitely getting them in an hour tops, under an hour. So you can fire them off, and still, yeah, like you said, 8 weeks left, plenty of time.
Hey, and some interesting feature development that I want to address to people who do use guillotineleagues.com, which we always appreciate. We've always had the CHOP data page, which shows you the historic waiver pricing for every player, including last week. So you have some guidance to go on with what your bids should be. And in the past, we'd always use the average for the players' values, the bidding pricing. We've changed it to the median, which gives you a much more accurate view. It takes the outliers out, effectively. And so it gives you a little better data to work with than what we've had in the past on the CHOP data page. A little more accurate on where your bidding should be. So for those of you using CHOP data at guillotineleagues.com, you now get median pricing, not average pricing.
Sweet.
Remember last week, Brian, when we said it was this rare week to bid on all these Chiefs because they had just gotten upended by the Broncos, and not only did they lose, but they didn't score any points. Well, here comes another opportunity. We're going to be talking about Chiefs again.
Yeah.
With the added complication of the bye week is here. We'll give you some specific advice for Chiefs players coming up in a few minutes.
Big teams on bye, especially a quarterback. Chiefs, like you said, Dolphins, mm-hmm. So Mahomes, yep. Tua, Hurts, and the Eagles.
Eagles are off, yeah. It's a tough week.
And then the Rams, you know, Stafford missed last week, but, you know, big names on the Rams. So, yeah, players are going to be missed this week.
For sure.
Yep.
So this is the toughest part of the season for many people, Brian, Guillotine League owners. If you followed our advice and you've built your rosters cheaply with value players and not big name players, this is the hard part right now. Because, yes, you've got cash left, but like everybody's got a better roster than you. And on Sunday, that cash left is not helping you.
Yeah, I was in the final five. Or final four. I think it was the final five of the Scott Fish Bowl Super Chop League. And I was coming like second to last every week.
Yeah.
You know, if I wasn't last, I was first. And I had so much fab. And I was like, this was the one week. If I get by this week,
yeah,
it's checkmate, basically, when it comes to acquiring players. Like, they're all mine.
Right.
I got chopped.
You chopped.
By a couple points.
This is the real, I think this is the hardest time right now to stick to your guns if you need to. And some people do need to spend. I mean, the only thing you've got if you have been saving money is this cash advantage. Doesn't help you on Sunday. If you've spent frugally, just know that, man, the rest of the year, you are going to get great players on the cheap. But we're not quite there yet. You're getting good discounts right now, but nothing like what you're going to see in 2 and 3 weeks.
No.
When the values for players just plummet and you're going to be able to own the board if you can stick to this plan. Now, you need to decide, you know, what does this bye week mean to me? Some other teams, if you don't have bye week problems, I assure you many others in your leagues do, and they're going to be scrambling. So you might not finish last. You might avoid the chopping block just based on somebody else's bye week. But if you're in real trouble, spend now. You know, and we say that every week. If you are, you know, self-evaluate. If you're in real trouble, go ahead and spend. But if not, man, Thanksgiving, 3 weeks from now, you are going to be rocking the waiver wire if you can hang tight.
Yeah, and definitely look ahead, especially if you don't have bye week troubles this week, that means you probably will in week 13 when that's Bipocalypse.
Yeah, Bipocalypse 2 is coming, yeah. But that's still 13, still a ways from now.
Yeah, that's a good 4 weeks of action. But still, it doesn't hurt to look ahead if you've just been riding Josh Allen every week, which is fine, but you're not going to be able to in week 13 when he's on bye. So.
And that brings us to this topic. How many more weeks do we have for bidding the way we do it here at GuillotineLeagues.com? I want to just make sure you know what you're saving money for and for how long. Unlike previous years, the waiver wire is going to run all season long, all the way to week 17. But
both blind bidding and first come, first serve free agency.
Yep, yes. Exactly. Thank you for clarifying.
Same schedule as
schedule.
Yes.
One thing changes. From the conclusion of week 14 forward, every week after that, players on teams that are chopped will not be available in free agency or blind bidding.
Yep.
So they will be locked out. So the teams that get chopped, those players will not be available. But if your quarterback goes down, you will be able to pivot to Mac Jones or whoever. So you'll be able to make changes. You're not going to be able to make changes to the elite players. Now, why do we do this? It's for gameplay balancing reasons. What we don't want is the championship basically decided one way and only one way. Whoever had the most money at the end of the year gets to win. That's not very fun. We want you to have a lot of different paths to a championship. And the teams that would be getting cut in like week 15 or week 16 are all just superstar players. And if you have the most money left at the end, you would be able to just buy up all of those. So for gameplay balancing reasons, we're locking out the chop players from the conclusion of week 14 forward.
And in the past, after week 14, rosters were just locked entirely, and you couldn't add anyone. So
that's right. Yes, this is actually a more liberal interpretation.
Even though it's only going to be three teams, the teams chopped in week 14, 15, and 16, where those players will not be available.
That's right.
You'll still be able to add a warm body in case of emergency, because last year, players started dropping like
the
flies.
Quarterbacks were all getting
Jalen Hurts. Yeah. Yeah.
That was the problem last year. And we're learning. So, you know, we keep adapting and trying to tweak GuillotineLeagues.com to make it work best for everybody's Guillotine League.
So your fab will have value still in weeks 15 and 16, but really not as much.
To pick up the players that were chopped, not the superstar players.
Yeah, but it'll still be nice to be able to control the board, even though you're not going to have as many studs available, but there'll still be a lot of good players.
If you're in a super chop league, spend away. You're down to 2 weeks left, so go crazy. Sorry about that, Brian. As always, I like to note, we use Base 1000 at GuillotineLeagues.com. If you're playing somewhere else, you're doing it your own way, you can do the math in your head to convert it to something else.
I just needed like a couple more catches from Breece Hall, and Michael Carter gets like six catches.
Yeah, rando at the end.
At the very end. I was like, if that was Breece Hall.
And Hall had a pretty good game anyway, and they were throwing to him a lot more lately. But
he's turned
pinning
into,
your hopes I was, to Jets.
I was way wrong on Breece. We won't have to get into it, but yeah, I didn't think he'd be getting this much usage this season. But I was wrong.
He's bounced back very nicely.
He's become a bell. I didn't think he'd be a bell cow this year, but he looks like
if I told you right now that Breece Hall was going to be the highest scoring fantasy running back next year, you're like, well, yeah, maybe I could see that.
Yeah, why not?
You know. Aaron Rodgers comes back, you know, offensive line stays healthier for New York.
If he finished off
another
the
year
way
off the ACL.
Trajectory was last season before he got hurt, he would have been a first-round pick this year.
Yeah, for sure. So, very possible.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, a first-round pick next August.
Hey, you can still draft him in the first round. I mean, I don't know about if I take him in the top nine right now, but the Jets have had their bye. I think he's in the top three rounds
of new Guillotine Leagues, forming at GuillotineLeagues.com. Yeah. All right, so as we always do, I sort of partition out our recommended bidding advice into four tiers. The low-end guys, these are single-digit guys. Some notable names that may be available to you that you might want to put a $1 through $9 bid on. Josh Dobbs, quarterback Vikings, after the amazing game he's had. I believe he's third in quarterback rushing yards, and we know that quarterback rushing yards creates fantasy value. Baker Mayfield has been very consistent. Noah Brown looks like he may just dagger Robert Woods for time going forward. He's an interesting buy opportunity. Jalen Tolbert appears to be daggering Michael Gallup's time. Jonnu Smith, did you see this? I tweeted this today. Jonnu Smith on that long touchdown run against the Vikings, 21.5 miles per hour. A tight end. That's cornerback speed. He's by tight end, Jonnu.
He's an athlete.
I love it. Kate Otten getting a lot of work as well. Those are some. And I'm going to ask you specifically about those guys at the end of the podcast, Brian. We'll see if you want to bid on those players. There's the next tier of guys I call the promising tier. These are guys in the $11 to $20 range. That might be just spot starters for you. Keaton Mitchell from Baltimore in a complicated backfield, but looks good. Zach Charbonnet getting more work lately. DeMario Douglas is your new lead wide receiver for the Patriots. Dalton Schultz getting a lot more work in Houston, and who doesn't suddenly want a part of that passing offense? Chris Godwin, slumping Chris Godwin. I put him in here because he got chopped in a lot of leagues, but not enough to make the top 10 list. Michael Thomas coming off a zero-catch game, I believe. Maybe it wasn't a zero-catch game. I might be confused on that. It was a low-wattage game, though. The next tier, guys, Brian, as we talk about pretty much every week, this next tier are many of these guys are the top 50 chop E's that I think make sense in the $20 to $40 range. Tank Dell, Jake Ferguson, Puka Nacua might be in this range now. Christian Kirk, Tyler Lockett, Debo Samuel might be in this range now. James Cook. So some good players, but just knowing how much fab is left, the declining value of fab, question marks on a lot of these guys, I think they're in the $20 to $40 range.
Just going back to Josh Dobbs really quick.
Yeah.
He is basically Lamar Jackson in terms of statistical output.
Isn't that amazing?
He's got more. He's got one more passing touchdown. Like, not by much.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson has slightly more points overall, but they are pretty much the same.
Wow. Is he like 7/8 of Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, essentially.
Wow. That's
the
way, awesome.
If you want to bake in, of course, the fact where Lamar Jackson was getting drafted and Josh Dobbs. Well,
undrafted, was, yes.
Yeah. Free. Wow. Yeah, incredible.
How about that? It tells you the rushing yards mean a lot. And then Dobbs also, you know, he was getting a little something. That was like 200 passing yards a game, I would guess, was his average. But it was also, you know, throwing to the receivers they had there behind the terrible offensive line. Now he gets another week in the Vikings system where he might actually know the plays. You know, what a concept. He might actually know the plays.
They're still alive. So, yeah, real quick, 440 rushing yards for Jackson, 324 for Dobbs.
All right, so but, 120 less.
Yeah, but L. Jax, 84 attempts, 54 attempts for Dobbs, 30 less attempts for Dobbs.
Yeah. Well, still.
Yeah.
Four rushing
touchdowns for Dobbs.
Here's the thing, though. Dobbs, I don't think, because the Vikings are down to their third-string quarterback, I don't think they're going to be doing designed runs for Josh Dobbs in this offense for the Vikings. I think they need him to throw the ball and stay healthy.
Yeah.
You know, the Cardinals, I think, didn't care. Like, fine, go get hurt. What do we care? So they were giving him designed runs. I don't think he gets them in Minnesota. But he'll scramble for some, just like we saw last week. You know, his scrambling, you know, his rushing touchdown and his whatever 60 rushing yards last week were all scrambles. High-end guys, the price for these high-end guys have come way, way down. The elite players. Now, you know, guys that were going for $300, $400, $500, $600, it's all half that or less at this point, and this is part of why you saved money. We're typically, as Brian, as you're going to hear in a minute, when we go through our top 10 most chop players, you're going to see like $125 to $225 range for their elite players.
Yeah, there's only a few that command or demand a little more than that, and a couple are actually on the list this week.
All right, let's get to it. The top 10 most chop players. Odds are 1, 2, or 3 of these guys hit your league's waiver wire. We begin at number 10, Miami quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. On bye this week, which complicates things and may help you get him for a lower price. Then he's got Las Vegas, which is a neutral matchup, but then at Jets. We just saw what at Jets did to Justin, Air Bear. I'm nervous about Tua right now, knowing that I'm not starting him on the bye, and 2 weeks from now, I'm not starting him against the Jets. So that has suppressed my bidding on him. The median winning bid last week, $101. What do you think?
Oh, no. Well, what are you doing? Yeah, second hardest strength of schedule for the remainder of the season. You highlighted the upcoming weeks by in a tough matchup in the Jets. And despite the fact that Tua leads the NFL in passing yards and passing touchdowns, I just have very little interest in him right now because he doesn't run. We say it every week, like the runners really grab your attention when they're on the available. In blind bidding. So I'm only at $8 on Tua.
Okay.
And, you know, he's going to be matchup based if you're getting into weeks 14, 15, 16. It's not like he's just a set it and forget it guy. He's going to have some bad matchups based on the strength of schedule where you're going to have at least one other quarterback where you're going to be deciding between your Tua. So I'm not going to spend a lot of money. So it was $8.
I'm three times that at $24 for Tua. I'll stash him this week. I'll play him against Las Vegas. I'll stash him next week. I'll start him most of the rest of the year. So I am interested in Tua at $24. The ninth most chopped player, Atlanta running back Bijan Robinson. Oh, here we are again with Bijan. So frustrating. Now, the good news is, at Arizona this week, an incredibly plus matchup, although Arthur Smith can single-handedly neutralize any plus matchup. But then he goes on bye, and then he's got a tough matchup with the Saints. The average winning bid, median winning bid, last week for Bijan Robinson, $182. I'm guessing you and I are not going to come close to that.
Definitely not. Arthur Smith shaved his mustache, so change is on the horizon, so that's exciting at least. There'll be no mustache on Arthur Smith. A community, both fantasy and reality football, like just
galvanized together
against one person. Yeah.
Matt Canada is in that ballpark, I think, right now.
It doesn't help that his dad founded FedEx, right? Is FedEx or you one of the
now,
shipping?
I don't know if this is true or not, but tell me if you've heard this. This would be in the 1970s that FedEx was down to its last handful of dollars, and that the guy, and this is when it was still a small privately held company, and the guy who was running FedEx, trying to get it off the ground, literally and figuratively, I guess, took the remaining money that he had to Las Vegas and was able to either double or triple it so he could like make payroll and keep the company going. And if he lost it right there, that was going to be the end of FedEx.
Put it all in black.
He put, yeah, something like that.
Wow.
I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what I've heard.
I'd like to believe that's true.
I would, too. What are you putting on Bijan Robinson? I think everybody knows all the downsides here, right?
I'm not putting everything on Bijan. Not all my chips, that's for sure. Let's see. Bijan, 2 carries for 3 scoreless yards inside the 10-yard line so far this year. Desmond Ridder has 5 carries for 16 yards and 3 touchdowns inside the 10-yard line. 1 carry inside the 5-yard line. Jonnu Smith has just as many carries as Bijan
Robinson. How about that? Carries for Jonnu.
So
a tight end.
I don't know. The matchup with the Cardinals nice this week, but then bye. But I don't know. Arthur Smith, it's mind-boggling how he's using his players. So I'm at $108 on Bijan Robinson, who is going off the board as RB3 in preseason drafts, which is insane looking back now. This is what we feared.
Look, this is, you know.
Yep.
I didn't hear anybody talking about Bijan's downside like you and I were. This was exactly, as you mentioned, we feared exactly this. Arthur Smith, him not getting goal line usage, the touchdown numbers would be low, and that they would squander the amazing resource that is Bijan Robinson. I'm at $35.
Granted, I was saying I'm taking Nick Chubb all day long, but he was hurt.
Right.
Can't
that's
do
not,
anything.
That's
he got
not,
hurt.
You know, we all have things
I'm
we got
still
right
not,
wrong.
I'm still not over that one that hurt.
The 8th most chopped player, Jacksonville running back Travis Etienne. Coming off his bye, so that's in the rearview mirror. So he got chopped on his bye for a lot of people. 3rd in fantasy points scored by runners. So he had been single-handedly keeping people alive, Brian. Now, obviously, that's not the case. The upcoming schedule for him, kind of tricky. San Francisco's a good run defense. Very good. Tennessee is a pretty good run defense. Then he goes at Houston for a neutral matchup. The average winning bid, median winning bid, I need to change my notes on this, for Travis Etienne, $288 last week. What are you doing here?
It's rare where I come close to the median bid from the previous week, but I'm right in that range. ETN, proven bell cow, essentially this year, despite having his bye, he's second in rush attempts and one of nine running backs with at least 35 targets. Strength of the schedule, middle of the road beyond those three games you just mentioned. So you said
I'm at 288, median.
Yeah, I'm at 254 on ETN. I'm buying, and yeah, the buy in the rear view, so you got him the rest of the season. And yeah, he's a dying breed. He's a bell cow. We don't see much of him.
255 here, so you and I are almost in the exact within a dollar of each other.
I would be very upset losing that. That's why I bid the full.
Well, then you should be bidding more. See, that's what I always say is if you'd be upset you didn't get the bid, you didn't bid enough.
It's fair.
You should be relieved you didn't get the bid. That gets you. That's how you know you're at the cutting point, right? The seventh most chop player and a guy we've discussed a few times lately, Kansas City running back Isaiah Pacheco, currently 11th in running back scoring. He's on bye this week, and then he gets arguably the hardest running back defense in the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles, allowing the fewest yards to running backs. They rank number two by Pro Football Focus in run defense. They rank number one in ESPN's run stuff win rate. It's all bad. So you got 2 weeks of Isaiah Pacheco in which you can't start him on bye, obviously. And then Philadelphia, you'd hesitate to start him. What's your bidding strategy on Pacheco?
So say after the Philly game, things get a little easier because he does have the second easiest strength of schedule remaining this year. But like you said, the bye, then Philly, he's definitely not usable on his bye week this week. And like you said, Philly, you probably have better options. I don't know. And just one touchdown over his last four games.
Yeah, that's Pacheco. Hurt a lot.
And it was receiving too. But he's been catching the ball, which we didn't expect him to do before week nine last week when he had zero catches. Pacheco did have at least three catches in four of the five games prior. So he's adding value in PPR leagues, which guillotineleagues.com is, of course. So, but with the bye and the Philly matchup, I'm only coming in at $41, and I'm just going to stash him and hope I have him available come week 12 when I can really use him again. If he didn't have Philly next week and it was just a bye this week, I'd probably be closer to 100, but the Philly matchup.
Bye week Philly is a killer.
That's basically 1.5 bye weeks.
There's at least a 50% chance we're talking about Isaiah Pacheco on this show next week or the week after that.
Or both.
Yeah, or both. I have $55 on Pacheco.
Wow.
I in my mind, I view him as a guy I could put in my flex the rest of the way, the whole rest of the season, potentially, after he gets past Philadelphia. The sixth most chop player, Cincinnati wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase. A little hobbled. We saw T. Higgins get a lot more of the action last week. The upcoming schedule, actually shockingly hard. Houston allowing the fewest wide receiver touchdowns in the NFL. Then at Baltimore, which is probably the best overall pass defense in the NFL. So two really tough weeks for Ja'Marr Chase here. The average winning bid or median winning bid last week, $302. Can't do it.
Can't go that high and beyond the next couple of weeks. Bottom 10 in terms of the easiest strength of schedule for the Bengals wideouts.
Bottom 10 in terms of the easiest? So it's that makes it the hardest?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's one of the 10 hardest.
Top 10
just
hardest.
Just one of the 10 hardest.
Top 10 hardest strength of schedule for wide receivers for the Bengals remaining. So, I don't know, but Chase did not have a great week, and that's why we're talking about him right now, but he's still arguably the top wide receiver off the board if you were drafting a new league right now. The bye week's in the rear view. Still can single-handedly keep you alive, win you weeks with his 200 touchdown games that we've seen in the past. So I'm not at the 300 plus, but I'm just slightly over 200 at 202. I'm still willing to pay that much for Chase.
180. The number five most chopped player, San Francisco running back Christian McCaffrey, obviously on bye last week, so got cut on his bye in a bunch of my leagues. All you had to do was just get through this bye with Christian McCaffrey, and a bunch did not do it. He's the number one in running back fantasy points. He's the fourth highest scoring player in the Guillotine League format on guillotineleagues.com. The upcoming schedule, neutral at Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, and then at Seattle. Nothing really to fear there. The average median winning bid last week, $406 for Christian McCaffrey. What you doing? And are you pushing in all your chips? I've gotten this on Twitter a few times about Christian McCaffrey today. Should I push in all my chips on Christian McCaffrey?
Of course, it depends on how big your stack is. If you got $1,000 in Fab or $100, I would say he's more of like you're putting in 80% of whatever you got left, something along those lines for McCaffrey right now. With fresh off the bye, he's a unicorn when healthy. What is it right now?
Well, and he's 20, healthy right now.
Yeah, he's healthy right now. 25 straight games with a
touchdown
when he plays the whole game.
Is it
something 17? Like that.
18? Whatever.
Yeah. I might be thinking like double-digit PPR points isn't like pushing 30 straight games like when he finishes the game. But so not 401, but I'm close. I'm at 363 on McCaffrey, and I'm probably not going to win him, but hopefully we'll hear his name again. But we might not.
Might not hear his name again. So here's my – should you push in all your chips on McCaffrey? Here's what you need to know. For you to win your Guillotine League, you need to have a top 10 player in every starting position, all of them, because that's what you're going to go up against in mid-December. And unless you're already there and McCaffrey's like the last guy to give you top 10ers at every position, you can't put in all your chips. You can't. You have to hold back some so that you can fill in all those other spots. So the only people who should be putting in all their chips on Christian McCaffrey are those that are already, they're basically one running back away from having the final roster you need to have. And your roster in mid-November ain't that.
Yeah, no one's got that.
Almost nobody's got that right now. So don't put it in all your chips. No. I'm putting in 250 on Christian McCaffrey, won't get him. The number four most chopped player coming in with a zero catch, zero fantasy day performance, Gabe Davis. He's always been this way, big game, bad game, big game, bad game. Mostly, I think, on Fantasy Football Weekly, we've been able to help identify the good and bad matchups. This one, I thought, was at least a neutral matchup. I did not see a zero-catch game coming. He's got a favorable matchup against Denver. Then he's got the Jets. That's not good. Then he's got Philadelphia, which actually is not half bad. Their pass defense is really struggling. The average winning bid on Gabe Davis was $22. Are you playing with this fire at all, Brian? Are you out?
Wow, I'm surprised. That sounds low.
I thought it was low. I expected that in my mind before I found the data for his median winning bid, I was thinking it was going to be like 60-ish bucks. I was surprised.
I would think something along those lines. Yeah, because in week eight, he had the good
the
game.
Game,
where,
yeah.
Where no one was starting him. So everyone's like, "Darr!" So I better put him in my lineup this week. And he gets you 0 points. So yeah, I was.
DeAndre Hopkins did that to us a little bit this past week, too.
Yeah, he did. But all right. So yeah, Gabe Davis, again, he's a spike week player. But beyond that, though, Khalil Shakir getting more involved.
Yeah, that's hurt him a little, I think.
Dalton Kincaid is starting to really emerge. He's really more of a wide receiver than a tight end. So, yeah, Gabe Davis, I was going to come in. Again, I thought it was going to be more like $60-$70 bucks like you, but I'm at like $18 on Gabe Davis. I mean, we're getting to the point where he's not definitely a auto start as a flex option.
No, he's not. I mean, you got to pick your spots. You need to listen to when, you know, the kind of coverage that he's going to get and the kind of stuff we give you on Fantasy Football Weekly to figure out if you're going to start Gabe Davis. So what are you bidding?
18.
I got 10. The number three most chopped player, Seattle running back Kenneth Walker on a huge dud game, completely removed from the injury report last week. So you assumed he was healthy. Then he didn't look like himself, and Charbonnet led the team in snaps, although Walker led in touches, but still, Charbonnet was way on the field, way more than we expected. The upcoming schedule, very favorable for Washington this week. Then at Rams, neutral, and then San Francisco's a tough matchup. Average winning bid, median winning bid on Kenneth Walker, $177. What are you putting up here?
Yeah, outsnapped by Zach Charbonnet in back-to-back games now. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Walker has been to start the year, going into the season, we expected, well, they sunk all
this. We expected what we have right now.
Essentially, but it was all Walker, and he was playing pretty well, putting up big numbers, and you're like, man, you hit the jackpot because Walker was going in the third, fourth round of drafts. But now it's the platoon we kind of expected, and you have to treat the situation as such, where I'm only at $61 on Walker, and you can't really start him with any confidence. It's got to be a really nice matchup with, like, the Cardinals again or something like that. Mm-hmm. But as of now, you're looking at 50% of the touches. That was almost the best-case scenario.
I've got $110 bid.
Oh, you still believe in a little more?
I think Walker's still the lead back. I still think he's going to get some work, and I'm still interested in getting Walker on my roster, but I'm not going to bid the 177, whatever, 60% of that. The second most chop player, and I know how many of you needed Justin Herbert to either have a big game or against your opponent, a very bad game against the Jets, and he came through with the bad game. Zero touchdowns, 136 passing yards. And Herbert's done this a few times. Oh, unbelievably bad. Shockingly bad.
What makes it worse is you're watching the game and then he's doing nothing, but he's got a commercial. Every commercial break, you're looking at a Justin Herbert commercial. You're
like, I know. Ugh. I know. Come on, man.
I need only points, here. Points per commercial league, I'd be set.
So the upcoming schedule is Detroit, favorable, at Green Bay, favorable, and then Baltimore is difficult. Average median winning bid last week, $91. What are you putting on Justin Herbert?
Yeah, I was expecting Herbert to be like in the MVP talks right now.
Yep.
QB1 overall, but that's really been Tua, who I said I bid $8 on. I'm definitely not going to bid $8 on Herbert for all the same reasons. He doesn't run. Pretty much the Chargers have been a disappointment from an offensive perspective. The defense has been bad, which we've like.
Yeah, we thought that would spark the passing game but more.
Enough is happening with new OC Kellen Moore. We had such high hopes for he and that offense. So I'm just at $3 on Herbert. It helps that they've already had their bye, the Chargers. But again, he's not a set it and forget it guy. You'll contemplate starting someone else over him certain weeks.
Certain week. The next two, I'm okay with them. $10 on Justin Herbert. That's just where we are now. Weird that Mike Williams' injury was obviously a significant one, but when you take a wide receiver in the first round and you still got Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler and Gerald Everett and, you know, you've got all these other players to throw the ball to, I really thought that Herbert would be almost as good even without Williams, and it hasn't worked out that way at all. He's really been an average, like the 15th NFL quarterback by fantasy points since then.
Still time to turn it around.
The most chop player, and I can't believe we're talking about him again, Kansas City tight end Travis Kelce.
He doesn't have an excuse this time.
No, there is no excuse. Well, other than Taylor Swift not flying to Germany, there's that excuse. Unbelievable that I didn't think we'd talk about Kelce, barring injury, three or four times on this podcast at the halfway point of the season. Unbelievable. So he's on bye this week, coming out of that game in Germany. Then he's got Philadelphia. That's tough. Then he's at Las Vegas. So you can't play him this week, and he could get chopped again right here. The median winning bid last week, $316. What are you doing with Travis Kelce?
So I looked. So he had three catches for 14 yards, and I was like, that has to be like one of the worst games in his career. And I'm scrolling through now. I'm just looking at yardage. Back into 2019, still have not seen the yardage total that low, below 20 yards. Here we go. September 9th, 2018, he had one catch for 6 yards.
Jeez. So 2018 was essentially
his worst game since then.
Jeez.
So I don't care, though. That's in the past. It's an outlier, right? An anomaly, whatever. I'm still... not going to start him this week. Chiefs on bye. I would be – he's a pretty much almost an all-in player if it wasn't for the bye week this week. Considering the bye week, though.
You got to factor that in.
You got to pump the brakes a little bit. But if you survive this week, you have him on roster, you're going to start him every week regardless of at tight end, and you still have the option to start another tight end at flex, but he'll always be in your tight end spot. So I'm at a – because of the bye, though, I'm only at a 269. I can say only, but if it was no bye, it'd be closer to – it'd be over 400,
The 500. The median winning bid last week was 316, so, I mean, I think you'd want to go into that area.
But I'll get aggressive and go for it because – you need a difference maker at tight end.
Again,
he's the one.
You can't go all in unless the rest of your roster is like top 10 at every spot. But I went 250. You went, what'd you say?
269.
Yeah, so we're in the same ballpark.
We got a lot of the same ranges.
All right, let me hit you with what we do at the end of every show. Standard waiver wire guys, the kind of guys that everybody else is scrapping for in normal, boring fantasy leagues. Would you bid $2, and I always say, and cut a player? And you're always like, yes, I'd take him, yes, I'd take him, yes, I'd take him. Let's remember, you got to cut some guy, and your roster is pretty good at this point. $2 and a cut player for any of these guys. Josh Dobbs.
No, right now, you only need one quarterback right now on roster to me.
It's going to be better than Dobbs.
Yeah.
I'm a yes because of Justin Jefferson coming back. And the rushing ability, I think his rushing floor could get me the 4, 5, 6 points a game just to get me through if I need to start him between here. If I've got a brand name quarterback who doesn't have his bye left, I'm not bidding on Dobbs.
Good point.
Otherwise, I am.
I wasn't factoring in Jefferson's return. They do have their bye in week 13, but yeah, for a buck, $2, why not?
Baker Mayfield.
Dobbs excites me more. The luster of the Bucks is kind of worn off
waning,
or whatever.
Yeah, they were fun
for a while to start the year, but not so much anymore.
Mayfield's played pretty well and nearly outdueled C.J. Stroud in a historic game. The last couple of games, Baker Mayfield's been throwing the ball great. It's just his defense has given up games at the end. He's been good. So that's a no on Mayfield. Noah Brown.
Texans wide receiver.
Yeah, thank you. I should have said that. Wide receiver.
I don't know. You still got to deem him below Nico Collins and Tank Dell into the pecking order, but I guess he's ahead of John Mechie now. But Dalton Schultz is...
Well, and Robert Woods is the other guy.
Yeah, Robert Woods.
Now, Woods was hurt. He was out last week, so he's ruled out. We only hypothesize that Noah Brown is going to just take his spot. We don't know that.
I got to see one more week. I'm not going to bid the buck or two on him. There's just too many mouths to feed.
I'm with you. I need more data. At this stage of the season, I'm not throwing darts in week 10 of my guillotine format.
No.
Jalen Tolbert, a Dallas wide receiver, who looked like he was going to be a rookie bust, and now all of a sudden he's making some big plays, special teams and as a receiver.
Well, he was a bust. He was a rookie last year, but he didn't even really play. But yeah, he's playing well this year, but I don't know. He's kind of he's right there with Noah Brown, essentially. A little more intrigue because he was a rookie last year, and I think Brown's been around for a little while. But there's still a lot of mouths to feed in Dallas too. So I'm gonna fade. I'm gonna hold off.
Okay. Jonnu Smith, Atlanta tight end, currently in the top 10 of fantasy tight end scoring. They're getting the ball to him in all kinds of spots. The 60-yard touchdown last week.
They got Atlanta this week.
That he plays for Atlanta.
Yeah, if you're streaming tight end right now, yeah, why not? I know Atlanta's got their bye in week 11, so you're not going to be using them then. Mm-hmm. But if you want to pick up a tight end or two and weigh your options, you could do far worse than Jonnu Smith, that's for sure.
Cade Otton, increasingly a bigger part of that Buccaneer offense, and he had the – what would have been the game-winning touchdown near the end of the game last week if it weren't for C.J. Stroud going bananas throughout the whole game, including the end.
In the wasteland, why not? The Bucs have had their bye. I forget who they have this week, but, yeah, Cade Otton's one of the guys where you can have two or three of them if you don't have a Travis Kelce and you're just going to you're gonna play the matchup game week in, week out.
Speaking of tight ends, last thing I'll say just because I uncovered this, and we'll talk about it on Fantasy Football Weekly too. TJ Hockenson does not get any kind of downgrade without Kirk. You know, obviously you'd rather have Kirk Cousins and what he brings to this offense. When Josh Dobbs was the quarterback for the Cardinals, he targeted tight ends more than any quarterback in the NFL. 32% of his passes were to the tight end position as a Cardinal. He shows up here. He throws 13 times in less than a full game to the Vikings tight ends, mostly Hockenson. So that's a trend.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, Hockenson is better than what he was throwing to in Arizona.
Yeah, Zach Ertz was a top 10 on tight end before he got hurt.
Yeah.
No one was drafting him. And then Trey McBride had started to pick it up. But yeah, Dobbs.
Yeah.
Dobbs can play.
He can. And he likes his tight ends.
I'm kind of shocked that the Cardinals essentially gave him away.
You know, you'd think you could have got more for Josh Dobbs. I presume they tried. But, and then if you're the Jets, why didn't the Jets go make this move? You know, why didn't they make this move 5 weeks ago?
I feel like half the league would have made this move. Just have him as a backup.
Yeah.
Like the Bills would put, I don't know who their back, or it's, doesn't matter. Yeah.
I don't know. Just for what he ended up going for, man, just, I don't know. Cardinals. Thanks for listening to Jop the Guillotine League podcast. Again, new league's forming last 2 weeks. We encourage you to jump into a brand new, shiny, exciting Guillotine League at guillotineleagues.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully you're alive for it. Bye-bye.